that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Down low, it skips away. Here comes Bradley. He scores! And the Red Sox have the lead at last. Here in the 11th inning on top, 1-0. A wild pitch. And Bradley scampers home. And the Sox are on the board.
Another night, another extra inning game, another win for the Red Sox. Ho-hum, ho-hum. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll open up the phone lines right away, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, and we'll get your thoughts on all things Red Sox. I want to get the newsy stuff out of the way right here at the beginning, okay, which is to tell you that obviously last night, 15-3 in extra innings, all of that stuff. We had a discussion last night about whether or not the extra innings wins mean anything, or the extra inning wins mean anything really for the Red Sox. We'll translate into the postseason. We continue that discussion tonight. But I want to frame it in a different way after I tell you that the Yankees won today again. So the margin is now 2.5 going into tonight. So the Yankees are keeping the pressure on the Red Sox. The margin is 2.5 going into the Red Sox-Orioles game tonight. So by the end of the night, it'll either be 3 again or it'll be 2. And thus far, the Red Sox have done everything to resist the Yankees. There's 3 games now in extra innings in the last 5 or 6 days that the Red Sox have pulled out to keep the Yankees at bay. Friday night in Tampa and the 2 games in Baltimore. Unbelievable how they keep pulling these games out late. So you want to give the Red Sox credit for that, by all means. By all means. And again, I want to continue the discussion as to whether you think this 15-3 performance in extra inning play for the Red Sox, which is easily the best in baseball, whether you think that sort of thing can translate or carry over into the postseason. I mean, think about that. That's 12 games over 500, just in extra innings. You take those away, and I think it was Alex Speer in the Globe who had it yesterday. You know, you flip the extra innings numbers around, and the Red Sox are trailing the Yankees. Okay, so the whole difference there is their ability to win in these games. And there's no question, some resiliency there, some persistence, perseverance, all of that on the part of the club. And maybe I'm just parsing words. I still question whether they're clutch, and I question whether or not, when they go against good teams, whether they can repeat this sort of thing. Okay, incredible as it seems. But in the interim, again, the Yankees won today. The margin is 2.5 going into tonight in Baltimore. Here's the question I want to ask tonight. And I asked this today via email in the afternoon program. I'll ask it again to Murray now and to Jimmy Stewart at the risk of getting him to go on a prolific rant. So keep your answer short, Jimmy. I ran into a fan the other day who said to me, hey, can I ask you a question? Are you rooting for them? Do you find yourself rooting for the Red Sox? And I thought it was an interesting question because they're not the most likable team. So, I'll start with you, Murray. Are you rooting for them?
Yes, I am, despite some detestable characters on the team, including the manager, who'd probably be right at the top for me. Yeah, of course I'm going to be rooting for them.
Jimmy Stewart.
I'm rooting against them openly.
Okay, and because you just can't get past the likability factor. A lot of fans in sports can separate the two. Tiger Woods, for example, became kind of a dastardly figure late in his career, and yet people still rooted for him because all they cared about was the golf. That's not enough for you, Jimmy.
Nope.
Okay. So, look, I will tell you this, that I find this Red Sox team hard to get behind. I found them hard to get behind all year from a likability standpoint. But come playoff time, of course I'll be rooting for them. I want them to win, and not just because it's good for us here or because it's good for me on this show. I'm a Red Sox fan. I grew up a Red Sox fan. I grew up here. Absolutely, I want to see them win. So I can separate what I do from who I am. I can separate those things. So I can sit on the sofa at night and watch a game and root for them to win, but also get angry when they screw up a play. I think many of you can do the same. So of course I want them to win, but I still have my doubts. They're unlikable. They've been unlikable, really, for a majority of the year. They really have. And there are likable individuals on the team, but I have a hard time really embracing any of the players on this team, save for a couple. So Jackie Bradley, I find unembraceable. Mookie Betts, I like. Benintendi, I like, not as much as Mookie Betts. Bogarts, I used to love, but I think he's been an extraordinary disappointment as a player. David Price? I bet you if you live next door to him, you would like him. But as a member of the Red Sox, he's not a likable guy. And so the whole thing got me to wondering, as a fan, do you support them as much as you did in the past? And I'm not asking relative to the 2004 team when they hadn't won a championship in 86 years. I'm saying, do you like this team as much as you did 2013? And are you going to be rooting for them as hard in October? Because that 2013 team, even though I didn't believe in them, they were likable. They were likable. They played their asses off. There was tremendous grit. They overachieved. Okay, so it was an easy team to like, even if it didn't last. This club, to me, a different collection, and so it's a different question. And I want to get to a bigger picture question as it pertains to the playoffs. We'll do that coming up next. But again, 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off tonight with Josh in Rhode Island.
Hey, Tony. My main concern for the Sox is that lack of postseason ace. Like, you had Josh Beckett in 07 and Lester in 13. I just don't think, I hate to tell you, you're right on sale at the end of the year. Stuff is really concerning me because he's, you know, pretty much have been done with Chicago at this point. So I just don't know who we can lean on, you know, in a big series in October. That's my biggest concern going into the postseason.
Okay, so Josh, look, yeah, the fade of Sale here, if that's what you want to call it, is a legitimate concern. I want to get to some of the bigger picture playoff questions in the next segment, but you're right to be worried about that. Now, that said, how many teams really have more than a couple of legit starters at the front of the rotation in the playoffs? The bullpen almost now is more important. The bullpen's more important in a lot of ways. And if Sale pitches, if Sale and Pomeranz pitch like they have pitched for the majority of the season, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. But it's a legitimate concern. Still, though, on the list of things that are greater concern for the Red Sox, and let me rephrase that, on the list of strengths and weaknesses of the Red Sox, starting pitching is a strength. Okay? The starting pitching is a strength. James is in Beverly.
Yeah, so a couple of things I just wanted to point out. I completely agree with you, Maz, about this team. I can understand where Jimmy's coming from. A lot of people that are detestable, but you know, I separate that. You still got to be a Sox fan. Still got to pull for the guys. But then my piece would be, I'm in agreement with what you guys were talking about earlier, too, with the Sox not really having anybody, quote-unquote, clutch. When I think clutch, I think, you know, game-winning shot, Michael Jordan, or Big Poppy at the plate. Got a lot of people that are good and we're winning these games in extras, but I don't necessarily view anybody that I say 3-2 count, bottom of the ninth. We're down by one, two runners on, second and third. I don't see anybody on the team where I'm saying, okay, they're definitely going to get a hit, or I'm ecstatic that they're up at the plate.
So, James, look, there are a couple of names you could pick, and Felger rattled a couple off this afternoon. And when you really think about it, would it bother you to see Mookie Betts up in a big spot? No, of course not. Like, Betts, again, to me, there's something there with Betts. But what bothers me about Betts is last October, I thought he looked as affected by the postseason as anybody. It looked to me like he was changing his approach at the plate. Like he knew they were going to pitch him differently, and he tried to adjust to it, and he couldn't, instead of just playing to his strengths. So, to me, the postseason got into Betts' head last year. Benintendi's another good one. He's had a bunch of big hits for them this year. A handful, anyway. As much as anyone could have a bunch. Sure. Yes, it wouldn't bother me to see Benintendi up in a key spot. I don't think he'd be overwhelmed by the moment. And despite the fact that as a career average of 242 in the playoffs, Dustin Pedroia, to me, in a big spot, will give you a good at-bat. He'll give you a good at-bat. I think Benintendi will give you a good at-bat. Some of the other guys I question. I don't know if Bogarts will. Not anymore. There was a time I thought he would. I don't know if Jackie Bradley will. In fact, I highly doubt it, although he had a hell of a bat the other night in the 6-run rally. But again, this is now Baltimore, middle of September, when you've got a 3-game lead versus Cleveland or Houston or whoever in October when there's no margin for error. I just think the whole thing gets ramped up in a couple of weeks, and none of these guys have really done it yet. None of them have really done it yet, so to me it's going to be all about October. The clutch thing is going to be about October. I admit it's going to be hard for them to convince me here over the final 2 weeks that all of a sudden they are a clutch team, whether they're 15-3 in extra innings or not. We'll get back to your calls when we come back. And again, I want to ask some questions about the strengths and weaknesses of the Red Sox with Murray and Jimmy Stewart when we come back, and you as well, obviously. But first, the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by South Shore Bank. Brandon Tierney, says, is this the MLB season? I'm sorry, let me rephrase. Is this MLB season the year of the homer or the year of the strikeout?
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's extremely impressive, and when you think about so many innings with their back against the wall, they've executed. They've been able to a man, hand it off to the next guy, continue to build a bridge till we are able to scratch out a run. You know, tonight, not even with an RBI, we find a way to push a run across. But
talking about his bullpen, and I keep telling you over and over and over again, that bullpen still scares me. There are guys in that bullpen that individually scare me. I don't think Matt Barnes is really all that good. Joe Kelly scares the absolute crap out of me. I like Addison Reed. I'm chuckling because I like him less than when he got here.
Typical.
Murray said to me earlier in the day, what is it, as soon as he puts on the uniform, you like him less? And honestly, that's not it. Now that I've watched him, he blew a couple of games, and, you know, so you start to see the vulnerabilities there. But he does have guts. He's an asset in that bullpen. He's an asset. Kimbrel, we all love. He's been absolutely dynamite. So, but beyond Kimbrel and really Reed, the rest of them leave me a little concerned. And even David Price, we don't know what that's going to be out there, so I have concerns about Price. But overall, the bullpen, boy, if you just go by the numbers, and what else can you go by at this stage of the season? There's really nothing to pick at. They have the second-best ERA in the American League, and I have said to you that I think bullpen ERA in and of itself is a little overrated. The bigger measure for me always is bullpen one-loss record. You just go by that one. If your bullpen leads the league in losses, it means you're blowing leads or tie games. Not good. You know what the Red Sox are? They have the fewest bullpen losses in the American League, 14. And it could be all of baseball. I haven't checked them against the National League because sometimes I don't know, to me, you weigh it all out and there are more relievers in the National League and more relief appearances. And so I don't know that it's apples to apples, but they have the fewest losses, now that I check it, in all of baseball in the bullpen, 14. Only 14 losses all season in the relief corps. Meanwhile, they have 27 wins. So for every three decisions, the bullpen's winning two, which is fabulous. You know, you mean you're coming into tie games or games when you're behind and they're holding the opposition down, and when you're ahead, they're not giving up the lead. So on paper, and again, the body of work with the bullpen, absolutely nothing to sneeze at. I mean, it's a huge reason why they are, probably the biggest reason the Red Sox are 15-3 in extra innings. And there are going to be some roles sorted out there, which brings us to Jim in Salem. Jim, what do you got?
Tony, thanks for taking my call. I think you're hitting it right on the head here of my concern about this team in the playoffs as well. I mean, Joe Kelly scares the bejesus out of me. I'm not sure I could ever get comfortable in putting him in a high-pressure situation in the playoffs. Sure, you're going to have Price out of the bullpen, but what I actually wanted to call about was, what role do you see a guy like Carson Smith playing with this team in the playoffs? If he can continue to show what he showed last night, coming into a game, two strikeouts, looking for two outs out of him, you know, in a big situation last night, you know, in a nothing-nothing game, do you see that guy playing a bigger role in the playoffs, or are we just going to run out of clock here before the end of the season?
Okay, so Jim, thank you for the call. I'm glad you brought this up because it sort of got lost in the shuffle a little bit last night. It was a 0-0 game, and again, the Red Sox at the Yankees breathing down their necks. The Yankees are applying pressure every day here. So it's a 0-0 game in the seventh inning. Pomeranz comes out with one out, and Carson Smith comes in the game. Carson Smith. Jimmy Stewart and Jim Murray, quickly, two strikeouts for Carson Smith. How do you feel about Carson Smith right now?
I mean, I would like him more than I would, say, Matt Barnes in a high-leverage situation, just based on the experience and the stuff. He's looked all right since he's been back.
Jimmy?
I'm waiting for his arm to fall off again.
Okay, so, boy, the delivery is awful, isn't it? When you really watch it, holy moly. I mean, he's going to have another one. His elbow is going to blow out again. He's going to be one of these guys that has two. Okay, so what happens there? I don't know. And his velocity clearly is not back. He's thrown in the low 90s. He was throwing 95, 96 when they acquired him from Seattle. The results were good with Smith. Boy, the delivery is horrendous. And I will say, I don't think the stuff is all that great. At least based on what he can be. The one thing he has, without question, is movement. Boy, does he have a lot of movement, especially on his fastball. The ball tails, like, incredibly. So I'm eager to see. They it sounds like they're giving him every shot to earn a spot in that bullpen, but I wonder about Smith, whether he can really hold up in October. Jim's in Brockton.
Hi, Tony. I used to read your fine column along with Felge when you guys wrote columns, and I've been following you for a long time. I just wanted to say God bless your mom, and you got my sincere condolences there.
Jim, I appreciate that. We don't write anymore, though. We just talk.
No, you used to write, though.
No, I know that. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Because you were fine writers. And I just wanted to say, Tony, it's very troubling to see the Red Sox struggle to score runs. Nunez was a spark plug, and unfortunately, the timing is bad with this injury. And the reason why a lot of these games are going into extra innings is this team takes a year to score a friggin' run.
So, Jim, listen, I'm going to let you go. It's a good point. I mean, it's a good point. If you capitalize on opportunities earlier in the game, you wouldn't have to go extra innings. Or if you could hit the ball out of the ballpark every now and then, or with greater frequency than they have, you wouldn't go extra innings. You'd score more runs. Scoring runs for them at times this year has been laborious. An absolute chore. Absolute chore. So before I get to this with Murray and Stewart, I'll throw it out there, and I don't necessarily want an answer yet, but I want you to think about it. When I ask you, do you feel good or bad about the offense of the Red Sox, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about the offense of the Red Sox? Do you feel good about it or bad about it? Mike's in a car. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. You were talking a little early about, would you still root for the Red Sox? And like you, I grew up here, and I'll always root for the Red Sox. But there are some kids in the team that are fun to watch. But, like Farrell, and even have lost respect for Pedroia after that incident early in the year. So what happens outside, I'm not too concerned with, but I'll always root for the Red Sox because they're our team.
So, Mike, that's the thing, is this year this team has not been the most likable team in the world off the field anyway. They off the field, they still don't have an identity, if you ask me. Now, you want to say in the games themselves, eliminate all the bull crap that takes place after games, and Eckersley and Price and Pedroia and Manny Machado and all the other nonsense that can go on over at Fenway Park, and there can be a lot of it in any given season. You eliminate a lot of that, what do you see on the field? And I would tell you, on the field, sure, they're persistent. They really are. They will play until 4 in the morning if they have to win a game. They've convinced me of that. And so that is just an ability to outlast other teams, which to me, the big thing there again is the bullpen. The consistency of outs. Just keep putting up zeros until something happens. Okay, and you can go a long way with that. You can. But the offense is one, again, which is why I frame the question the way it is. You want to say it's a strength or a weakness, is the offense. Do you feel good about it or do you feel badly about it? And I want to get to a even bigger picture discussion with Murray and Jimmy Stewart about various areas of the team like that. So we'll assess that overall. The bullpen, the starting pitching, the defensive catcher, the defense in the outfield. Do you feel good about it or bad about it? Okay, that's what we're going to assess here in the next segment. Let me squeeze in one more call. Mike's in a car. Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, Tony, you kind of hit on the point I was going to make. I think the concern I've got is that the record that they've got in extra innings is phenomenal. But it really is all about the bullpen putting up zeros until they outlast the other team. And I don't think that's sustainable. I think you're going to wear these guys out in the bullpen. And my concern becomes the offense's inability to help close out a game in 9 innings. That they're relying so much on these strong arms in the bullpen to keep them alive for so long. I don't think that's going to be sustainable in the postseason because they've had to do it so many times in the regular season.
Okay, so Mike, what I worry about in the postseason is I think that in some ways pitching in the postseason gets a little easier for the relievers because you get those off days. So you can pitch 2 games, take a day off, pitch again, and then you can't pitch 5 in a row. But I think Keith Foulke pitched in every game in the World Series in 2004.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and these guys run on adrenaline. I think for the relievers, believe it or not, the postseason could almost be easier. What I worry about with them is that other teams in the postseason are also going to have good bullpens. And now all of a sudden, and this to me is a significant fact, maybe it's just nothing more than cynicism and skepticism. But if you look at the way the Red Sox have won a lot of these extra inning games, right? And a lot of them have gone late, 12 innings or more. They've played 8 games of 12 innings or more. So their bullpen is deep. There are a lot of options there. But the majority of their extra inning wins have come against bad teams. Jimmy Stewart went over the list earlier. Oakland, Toronto, Tampa Bay, Baltimore.
Philadelphia.
I mean,
Pittsburgh.
Really wretched team. They all have losing records. They only have two extra inning wins against teams with winning records. So, again, you say, well, that's true of anyone. Maybe. But in the postseason, that advantage gets mitigated. Those bad teams have bad bullpens. So if you go two or three innings, now they're running out of relievers and you've got more. So you're going to win that game. The depth of the bullpen is huge. So this is just my read on it. I'm not telling you it's 100% accurate. But I think that the fact that a lot of these games are coming against bad teams, to me, is not a coincidence. So the Red Sox have depth there. They got a lot of guys who can throw. Other teams don't, and the Red Sox have a better lineup. So the longer the game goes, the more likely they are to win. I don't know if they're going to have that advantage in the playoffs. Because these teams in the playoffs are deep, their bullpens are deep, and in many cases they are well managed. Murray's Get Your Headlines when we come back. I'll tell you the things about the Red Sox in the postseason that I feel good about and don't feel good about. And we will also get Murray's and Jimmy Stewart's opinions and yours when we come back. Says he doesn't like the Red Sox. Go, Joe.
Hey, so I've been a fan my whole life. I was a freshman in high school when they won in 04. That was like a major life event. But this team, I hate Price. I hate Porcello. I hate Pomeranz. I hate Pedroia. I hate Bogarts. I don't really like JBJ. I like Betts and Benintendi and Vasquez, but, I mean, that's in Sale. Like, so it's I dislike more guys than I like. I don't like the manager. I don't like the owner. I don't really enjoy the prices at the games themselves, and the product takes way too long. So those are all negatives.
Okay, so Joe, will you root for them in October?
Yeah, I mean, I would. I'm kind of in the Felger boat of you root for the laundry, so I might hate Price, but I still want the Red Sox to win because that's still my Boston baseball team. But it's tough to watch. Like, I have the game on every night, but I always find myself kind of doing something else or flipping around and changing the channels, trying to find something else. Because they are boring, and I don't really like half the starting players, so it's tough. But I did want to mention one thing to Jim Murray. I actually disagree with you on Carson Smith and Matt Barnes. I think I would prefer Matt Barnes in a late inning situation. If you look at their numbers, they've both been in the league for 4 years. Matt Barnes has twice as many games pitched. His ERA is obviously worse, but he's pitched in the postseason, so I think experience-wise it actually goes to Matt Barnes. And I didn't think of that before until Jim Murray mentioned it, but I looked at the numbers, so I'm curious what you think about that.
So, look, Joe, honestly, I don't like either one of them.
It's a fair counter. I've just been traumatized by Barnes on the road. Look, at home, sure. Yeah, go to Matt Barnes. He's been mostly nails at home. But on the road, please, I would take Carson Smith there.
I'm telling you, other than first of all, the only guy I have complete confidence in out there is Kimbrel. Okay, he's the only one. Reed's, I'm confident in. I mean, I liked Reed when they brought him here. He had a rough start, a couple of games here that he did not pitch well. There was a thing in New York when Farrell went out to get him, and it felt like they were dinking around and didn't know how to use him. Okay, just give Reed the ball and get out of the way. He'll be okay. He'll probably blow a game somewhere, but I don't think Reed's afraid. So overall, I'm good with Reed. The rest of them scare the life out of me. Joe Kelly, maybe more than anybody. I just think that guy gets on the mound, and he doesn't know what the hell to do sometimes. So before I get back to the calls, let me just—I want to do this exercise with you two clowns,
okay.
as well as with the listeners. I'm going to throw some qualities of the team at you in generic form. For example, starting pitching, and in the postseason, do you feel good about it or do you not feel good about it? I don't want to say this, you feel bad about it. Like Jimmy's giving me a little game show music. Thank you, Jimmy. So let's start with starting pitching. Do you feel good about it or not?
I do. I do feel confident in the starting pitching.
Jimmy Stewart.
I do not feel good about this starting staff.
Okay, I do, so you lose. To me, that's a strength. The manager.
Oh, I do not feel confident in the manager.
Epic fail.
Okay, unanimous. None of us feel good about the manager. The success of the team in extra innings, does it carry over? Do you feel good about it, or do you not feel good about it?
I think that they've showed balls. I think that that's part of it. I feel good about that.
Nope, because they've beat a bunch of suck teams in extra innings.
Okay, I also say no. I don't think that that carries over.
Boo.
You lose, Murray.
Okay, the bullpen.
I'm confident in the bullpen.
I feel good about the bullpen.
You know what? I don't. I lose, but I don't. It's the collectively, again, on paper, they look great. But you tell me that Joe Kelly's getting a big spot, I'm crapping my pants right there with him. How about the offense? And when I say the offense, I mean overall. Everything. The offense, do you feel good about it or not feel good about it? Might be the hardest one.
I do not feel good about the offense. I think it's too inconsistent.
I do not, based on their postseason last year.
Okay, I don't feel good about it either. I don't know that I would say I feel badly about it, but I don't feel good about it. To me, it's been too hit or miss. How about the outfield defense?
I feel confident with the outfield defense.
It's elite.
Okay, you should feel good about that. It might be one of the real two or three best strengths on the team. How about the defense behind the plate?
I feel confident in the defense behind the plate.
I feel good about it.
I also feel good about the defense behind the plate. Again, very, very good. Do you realize that the Red Sox rank fourth in the majors in throwing out opposing base stealers? Fourth. That's based on percentage. And they're excellent at it. They can. This Red Sox team, unlike many others, can deter the running game like nobody I've seen in a long time.
It's the slide step.
Okay, so last one I have is how about the infield defense?
I do not feel confident in the infield defense.
It could be a train wreck.
Okay, I also think it's a problem. Particularly on the left side, more the left side than the right side. Although I think Mitch Moreland has been a little overrated. But the bottom line is this. I'll tell you the areas I feel good about with the Red Sox, and that's why I wanted to go through it. Starting pitching, I feel good about. The defense behind the plate and in the outfield, I feel good about. That's really it. It's really it. The other things I have questions or concerns about, and I'm not telling you they're all equal, because some of them are greater concerns than others. But, for example, the bullpen, as awesome as it has been, and it has been awesome all year long, really. Again, the numbers are what they are. I told you what the win-loss numbers were. The Red Sox relievers have lost fewer games than any bullpen in baseball. That is no small achievement. But I worry about Kelly. Individually, I worry about a lot of those guys in big spots. The offense, I worry about. The base running mistakes, the inability to hit the ball out of the ballpark. The manager, I worry about. The extra inning success, I don't think carries over. And the infield D on the left side, I think Rafael Devers has now made an error in five straight games. Five straight games.
There's a reason he's sitting tonight. I think that they need to give him a night off to get his head straight.
I mean, they are sort of veering back towards life at third base with Pablo Sandoval over there. That's kind of where they've been here in the last, I don't know, week or two. Maybe that's too strong, and Devers has been better than that because he's hit some balls hard. I think he had a big hit in that rally the other night, two nights ago, where he ripped a ball into the corner. It was only a single, but at Fenway it had been at least a double.
How do you gauge the greatness of a Mercedes-Benz SUV? By its ability to carry cargo or to carry on a legacy? Its show of strength or its sign of intelligence? The ability to cross harsh terrain or to break new ground? Or do you gauge greatness by the exceptional offer you got on your Mercedes-Benz SUV? Come in this Thanksgiving week for opportunities abounding. There has never been a better time to obtain greatness than right now. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.